CC NSO members, day 2, part 1, from 9 a.m. to 10:15 a.m., Wednesday, March 14, 2018, room 209BC, CC NSO.
Hey, Carrie, are you on the phone bridge?
I am.
Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, can you dial out to Leonid right now?
Yes, so I just dialed him, and he said he wants to dial out right when it's dark.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I welcome you. Good morning, dear colleagues. Good that there are so many of you here, despite the excellent party we had yesterday. And first, I have to start with some announcements. First of all, as of today morning, Adobe Connect is not available due to security reasons, as you could see announcement on the ICON website and in the application, which means that those who want to join remotely, they have to dial in, which means that they cannot raise their hands or submit their questions in this Adobe room. They have to either speak up or send emails to either CCNSO secretariat, or each room is assigned, has its own assigned email address. So if you go to the CCNSO sessions that we have in our applications and everywhere on this information, so you can see where to send your questions. And I know that at this moment, at least at this moment, we have at least one remote participant. It's Leonid. Leonid, hello. I hope you can hear us.
Yes, hi. Hi, everyone. Yes, I can hear you very well.
We can hear you also very well. So if you have a question or you want to say anything, then please feel free to do that. As of our discussions yesterday to attract more volunteers, one of the suggestions discussed was to have more chocolate. And thanks to Giovanni, that's what we have. Please feel free to take one or two, and then you have to, three. Giovanni allows to take three. And then you just have to participate in working groups. Okay, with that, I think that's all about announcements. Let's move forward to our session this morning and its impact of natural disasters on CCTLDs. Yesterday, Pablo already started alluding, and he told us a lot about climate change and how it has impacted what impact it has on the island here, in this region. And it's clear that we'll see more and more natural disasters around the world. Sometimes we tend to forget that those disasters impact not only registries, or in our case, CCTLD registries, but they have also impact on registrars and registrants. So this is one of the things we would like to discuss today. Is there anything we can do to help, first, to help our fellow CCTLD registries? And as far as I understand, it was already discussed during the Tech Day, and many CCTLDs, they collaborate together to ensure that their infrastructure is resilient and secure and is ready to face disasters like that. And today we have, again, two presentations from people who have learned their lessons, probably the hard way. And this is our opportunity to learn from them and see how can we be better prepared, how can we address these issues, and what can we do to help our first ourselves, perhaps, and then our fellow CCTLDs. And second, another question that I will like to ask and our presenters, and maybe you in the audience, what can we do to help registrars in the affected areas? And should we, apparently we also have to think about registrants in these areas, because if you have no electricity, if you have no food, then a renewal of your domain name is probably the last thing you're thinking about. But once everything is back to normal, it's not good to discover that your domain name is long gone just because you didn't have a possibility to renew it. So with that, I will give floor to Pablo to continue what you already started yesterday. Okay, please.
Thank you so much, Katrina. And good morning, everyone. Once again, welcome to Puerto Rico. Yesterday, I got trigger happy with my presentation and continue with the presentation right after the welcome message. But thank you for that great introduction, Katrina. Without a doubt, climate change is real, and we will experience more and more of this, especially in the region, the Latin American region, Latin American and Caribbean region, but throughout the world, as we have seen. So what have done Puerto Rico, what that PR did is we set up two co-locations that were exact mirrors of each other in order to ensure that we had redundancy within the island, and that helped us maintain our DNS services throughout the entire atmospheric event. So that's one thing that we suggest that you do. You need to ensure that you have redundancy in your country, that you have a robust infrastructure, and that you have taken the measures necessary. Whether you do that or you contract another company to do your back end, but the idea is that you need to maintain that level of service, that service period, and at the level of service that you would normally want to do that. In our case, we kept two co-locations, one called Critical Hub and the other one called AT&T, and that's what kept us on and before, during, and after the hurricane. I already mentioned to you what the level of devastation that hurricane took on us. And I'm going to skip quickly because we already shown some of these images yesterday. What we learned is that normally when people talk about disaster recovery planning, some people tend to think about one disaster. But as you may hear, in our case, and I understand that is the case of Hirota-san, is that disasters comes in pairs many times, and sometimes three at a time. And one disaster will lead to another disaster that you were not foreseen. In our case, we got the hurricane, but in the same area in the Latin American region, less than 24 hours before, we had an earthquake in Mexico. And hundreds of people died there, and telecommunications and everything else related to the infrastructure was destroyed in that particular section. Imagine if that would have happened in northern Mexico, God forbid, in Monterrey, what would have happened to NIC Mexico then? And what would they have done? And Patricio, you share with us that Chile is no stranger to disasters, tsunamis, and so on. So our lesson began with Japan. Our lesson began in 2011 when our registrars in Japan approached us and they could not approach us at all. They could not communicate with us. And what we did, we felt that it was necessary, that we have a responsibility to protect those names. I mean, we're talking about Sony, Canon, Nikon, Toyota, Honda, and for whatever X amount of dollars, I'm not going to allow those domain names to expire only because they cannot contact me or because I'm sending them renewal messages and they're not responding. Something would have happened. This is not a matter of money. So what we did is that we extended the renewal period and protected those names until such time where they can contact us and tell us, hey, listen, I don't care for that domain, or yes, please renew it, and then we'll take care of the money. And so in the case of Japan, what we know is that there was a terrible earthquake, a 9.1, I believe, and then right after that, they had a tsunami. Well, the same thing has happened in Puerto Rico. We have had earthquakes, and right after that, a tsunami. We have seen that in Chile as well. So they come in pairs many times. And that is in the best case scenario. Sometimes it can come in many more of those. In our case, we had terrible problems with water, with electricity, with telecommunications, and everything else. In fact, some people are considering doing a case study because an electromagnetic pulse could do the same thing to any particular country, and that is when a radioactive device is exploded and that magnetic electromagnetic pulse can wipe out anything that is electronic. What would you do then? So we made sure that we looked at our databases and compare what are the domain names, what is the country of origin that would match the particular areas that were affected by the hurricanes Irma and Maria. Once we identified those, and in our case it was about 626 of them, we automatically renew their expiration dates by 4 months. And we continue to wait. And so as registrants or registrars approach us, we renew their domain name upon their command. So what we would like to do is to promote a discussion in which not only CCTLDs but also GTLDs can become aware that the fact that a domain name, that a disaster happens in a particular remote area from their perspective, such as in our case. I mean, what is more remote from us? We would think that what is more remote from us, Puerto Rico, than Japan, right? But guess what? We had plenty of registrars. We have 3 registrars in Japan. So immediately, we were forced to, it was our duty to protect them and to see what can we do. So what if a disaster happens in Puerto Rico and you are the registry in Thailand, in China, in Japan? Do you have a responsibility to protect our customers? Do you have a responsibility to protect the registrants from this particular area in your registry? And so that is the kind of discussion that we're looking forward to do, where we can become aware that the fact that a disaster happens in a remote part of the globe, from your perspective, you should look into your databases, see who is registering from there, and protect them. And take the time to protect that cyber real estate and help them out to renew whenever that time comes. We continue to look at our disaster recovery plan, and after speaking with Dr. Lisset not too long ago, he brought something to my attention that is very important. Our CEO died in 2014, and although we had a robust structure to carry on, and we were able to carry on seamlessly, that is something to think about too. And that has nothing to do with a natural disaster. It is a disaster, but it's not a natural disaster, right? And so that is something to think about. It's not only natural disasters, but it's what if several of your colleagues died? What if there is an accident? So that's why we see that at ICANN, people are not allowed to important roles cannot fly together, because if there was an accident, God forbid, they would cripple the operation of the organization. So there is a number of things that we need to keep in mind, and we need to think about this and take the time to reflect on this and take the necessary measures to protect ourselves, because by protecting ourselves, we will be able to protect our customers, our registrants, and our registrars, and that is I strongly believe that is the right thing to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Pablo. I think let's hear some more experience from Hiro, because some more time passed since disasters in Japan. So let's hear what the .jp registry have learned and how they approach their operations now. And then we will take questions together for both Pablo and Hiro. Yes, please, Hiro-san.
Thank you, Katerina. And thank you, Pablo. about the presentation. It's very well formatted and maybe cover 30% of what I want to say. Thank you. But 30%. Yeah. Okay. All right. Where's Japan? We're here, and Puerto Rico is on the right-hand side of the globe. This kind of map is usually used in Japan. And I use the map today, not only because Japan wants to be a center of the earth, but also that when there's an earthquake in Japan, and if it causes tsunami, that tsunami reaches the west coast of North America, yes, and west coast of South America as well. Yes. And of course, vice versa. When a big earthquake happens in Chile, tsunami reaches to our land. So that's why I want to use this map here. And we have a lot of natural disaster very frequently. For example, earthquakes large enough to feel, even by me, it's around 2,000 to 20,000 times a year. It's a big number. And typhoons, which are disastrous to our territory, 5 to 20 typhoons hits per year our land. So it's a kind of big island which collects a lot of natural disaster. And these are the pictures taken when the natural disaster happened. First one is 1995 January. There was a big earthquake in Kobe. Yes, we are going to Kobe next year. Kobe area, and this is a highway in Kobe, and it's fell down, and we lost 6,500 people. And 2015 September, it's climate change. Due to climate change, the typhoon is becoming bigger and bigger year by year. And in September 2015, 40 dead. And 2016 April, there was an earthquake in the Kyushu area, which is the west part of Japan, and 258 dead. And yeah, 195,000 houses broken. And July last year, there was a heavy rain, and 41 dead there. Okay, so there are many natural disasters in Japan. And the Great East Japan Earthquake, that was mentioned by Pablo, in March 2011, which is just 7 years ago, there was an anniversary this Sunday. And this is the map of Japan. And earthquake center was in the sea. It's around 400 kilometers north of Tokyo. And the earthquake hits the land directly. And then 30 minutes to 90 minutes later, tsunami hit the land. And such earthquake, big earthquake and tsunami broke the nuclear plant in Fukushima. So there's a 1, 2, 3 punch. Mm-hmm. Okay, what happened on March 11? Anyway, March 11 was the Friday, and ICANN San Francisco meeting, yes, began on Saturday, next day. So I couldn't fly in time to San Francisco for ICA meeting. So magnitude scale 9.0. And building collapsed by quakes. And building slanted by land liquefaction. And rose rate was severed. Lifelines severed. Lifelines means water, electricity, and so on. And gas also. And tsunami happened, made by the earthquake. The height of the tsunami was 9 meters on the sea. And when it reaches the land, and when it comes up to the land, so it can be higher, went higher, and ran up land slopes to 30 to 40 meters high. So even if they live 30 or 40 meters high from the sea level, they were hit. And nearly 20,000 dead or missing. And such earthquake and tsunami made nuclear power plants disaster happen. And they were intensely hit by earthquake and tsunami. And plants broken and radiation leaked. Maybe you know. And of course, power shortage. The Fukushima nuclear plant delivers electricity to metropolitan Tokyo. So even Tokyo lost their power. And no traffic lights even in some parts of Tokyo area. And we experienced planned round-robin blackout several hours a day. And difficulties experienced from the first from the people aspects. On the day of earthquake, some facilities, goods in the office, even in our office, and machine rooms were broken or fell down by the earthquake. But fortunately, none of our employees injured. We were fortunate. But not easy to spot all employees, all of our employees, because some, it happened in the daylight time, but some were out of office for business, for day off or something. But we have to spot whether they are safe or not. And phones, including fixed line, mobile, internet, were heavily congested, and lines were mobile waves couldn't be grabbed by users, so we couldn't communicate for several hours after the earthquake. And staff safety check service, we have this kind of function, but such function is purchased for this kind of emergency, but it didn't work because of the communication congestion. It's a silly thing. And of course, employees couldn't go back home after earthquake, which happened in daylight time. So public transportation halted their operation because they had to do thorough safety checkups after an intense earthquake. And road congestion because many people try to get home by cars or even by bicycles because public transportation systems were not available. And we have around 70 to 80 staffs, and among them, 30 to 40 people, about half of them, stayed overnight with blankets and sleeping bags. You see that we did have blankets and sleeping bags prepared for this kind of disaster. But in Japan, 120,000 people couldn't travel home in Tokyo area, it is said. And continued people aspects. On the day of earthquake, foods, drinks in the market stores or convenience stores were sold out, of course, because many people couldn't go back home. And employees couldn't sleep well in frequent aftershocks to make their minds off the fear, Beer?
Yes.
I'm not kidding. Beer, wine, amusement DVDs were much of a help, even in the office, because we couldn't sleep at all. So we need alcohol. And we have stocks for this guy. Not just for the party. But I learned that chocolate is more better, right? Okay, and several days after the earthquake, not all the public transportation services were back to normal. And planned blackout was still executed, rotating among designated areas. And employees living in designated areas were directed to work from home. So we need remote work facility. And employees who need to work in the office were directed to come to the office, but back home early during daylight time. And the government directs people to stay home as far as possible in order for them to avoid troubles and save electric power. And from the service aspects, on the day of earthquake, all sorts of problem fighting must be done immediately, so safety in the office for staffs, for goods, and continuity of the service, DNS, who is registry system, office system, and so on, and servers in the office, servers in the data centers, NOC function. But fortunately, .jp services were not disrupted, some office facility damages. During several days after the earthquake, decide how domain names should be handled, should be relieved, as Pablo said. And people, meaning restaurants and or restaurants in the disaster-affected area, may not be able to renew their domain names, even if the domain names are about to expire. Such domain names are automatically renewed with no charge. So it's decided by our company. And announced to the public was not done, only through registrars. It's a kind of no good thing, but because we want to say that be calm, because we are ready to help you. But some restaurants could not extend this kind of service to relieve their restaurants. It's a pity, but this is the reality. This was the reality. And preparing ourselves for the future, so we do have pocket manual for all employees, how to evacuate, how to safety check, and so on. And whom, what, how you should report the telephone number, email address, and SNS account. The how to manually unlock electrically locked doors. This is a very important thing, because usually our offices are locked electronically. So if the power is off, we cannot open that. So, and of course, it can be opened manually, but usually we don't know how to unlock that. So how to manually unlock electrically locked doors, to unlock electrically locked safety boxes, and so on. And brief manual within smartphone or on paper. These manuals on paper and on smartphones. And survival kit, food, water, gloves, helmet for every employee, plus more, plus for the visitors. And sleeping bags for office stairs. And basic drills are often done yearly or twice a year. And periodical emergency messaging drills. So we company has to alert our staffs, employees, don't come to the office because office is in danger or something. So we have to give SMS or internet mail to them, but it needs drilled, because those addresses are often changed but not reported to the manager. So we do have to give it there periodically. And preparing ourselves for organizational initial decision, yes, well, of course. And basic criteria for making employees to go home or something, yeah, of course. And emergency communication too. So the second one is important. For all employees, email accounts under a TLD other than .jp. We need this because Japan is hit by natural disaster and maybe .jp DNS doesn't work. So we need another TLD to help us. So, all right. And three more pages. Oh, no, this is one. Remote work environment. Okay, I will skip this. And disaster recovery sites. We have Tokyo and Osaka 500 kilometers away. Both systems and staffs are in Tokyo and also in Osaka. And periodical drills to switch the active site. And NCAS DNS servers within regional big ISP networks. This is still an experimental research. I will talk about this later. And crisis management committee is created in our company, planning and handling all the above. So this is a picture. 3 day survival kit is stored under each employee's desk. Okay, this is my desk. Clear, okay. And under my desk, fully clear to hide my body. Okay? I'm small enough to be under the desk. It may not fit, but this is a mandatory for all of our employees to clear their desks to hide themselves. And storage with 3 day survival kit, it's a triangular box there. And inside the storage, I open the lid, the right hand side top. This is the content of the box. Okay? As you see, many things. And for each employee, I think we use $200 for these survival kit. And of course, there's some water and food. We need to change them periodically, yearly or semi-yearly. And this is the last slide. Anycast DNS servers within regional big ISP networks. So this is still a research effort with 8 domestic ISPs, which covers all over Japan. So those ISPs are provided by regional electric power companies or their affiliates. And the area coverage don't overlap and collectively cover the whole Japan. So if the DNS servers managed by JPRS, the REST itself, the copy of the DNS server are operated by these 8 ISPs, so they can provide this to their area. So it may help us if some part of Japan, I don't want to use the word, but if some part of Japan dies, the other part works for .jp. This collaboration will make JPDNS survive even when many parts of Japan are in trouble due to natural disaster. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. I've learned a lot. I don't know how about you. And actually, this is one of the things I really wanted to focus on. It shouldn't talk only about infrastructure. It's vital and it's very important, but we need to take care of the people who take care of the infrastructure. Therefore, I think that's... well, for me, it was really very educational and something clearly to think about. Eberhard.
Sorry about that. You are all aware that we have also been hit by a personal disaster, and that one of my or my business partner, suddenly died on Friday. And what Pablo said is not only natural disasters or personal disasters; things can happen at the same time. And while you can have enough redundancy, for example, Stephen Dehaeg and I, we have agreed to exchange non-executive directorship positions now, so that if something happens to him, I can look after his heirs or whatever who are not involved, and the other way around. And then we're on company registers, and so this is all involved, and there is no cost involved. And then we exchange root credentials, but not the second factors, and our trusts, my things are in a trust. My trustee then has full documentation to know exactly what he needs to do in case he needs to have access. We have got already, we had fortunately a system in place to deal with this. We have been thinking about this for a year now because we're all not getting younger. But this is something that you need to, Dottie is also not the youngest from .vi. And the small CCTLDs, if you are one or two man operation, you must be very clear on what is going to happen. A purely technical question. The survival kits, you are aware of expiry dates. So do you buy 200 kits at this? It's just mundane. When I was younger in my army time, I was dealing with logistics and had to look at expiry dates of drugs all the time. But the food, you can't keep the food in there for 10 years. So how do you deal with this? Do you buy 200 packets and renew them all at the same time, or do you keep track of the expiry dates? Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the question, Eberhard. There is a service who delivers the replacement to us. So they manage the expiry date. And before that date, they deliver the replacement to us.
So that's a service. It's outsourced. Mm-hmm. Patrice?
Yeah, Patrice Poblete from Nick Chile. We are beginning to work on designing and implementing a second location where we could operate in case a disaster hit our main offices. And we're having trouble deciding what to put there, how much to invest in having things that would be basically on the standby until the day, if ever, that they would need it. And how do you handle that? You said that... Do you already have two locations? What you put in Osaka, for instance? How do you handle that?
Okay, thank you, Patricio. Osaka site is a secondary site, and it's still smaller. Our plan is to make these two sites equal size. So. For example, we plan to use Tokyo site for 1 month, and even when there's no disaster, we change it to Osaka as a whole site. Yes, swap that. No, not people, just a system, because there's a remote work environment there. So for the system, we'd like to have almost the same copy in those two sites. And for the people, at this moment, among our 80 employees, 70 are in Tokyo and 10 are in Osaka. So Tokyo is the main site in a staff viewpoint. So, but maybe it's not easy to move another 30 to Osaka because Tokyo is their basic life space. So we have to think about that, how to operate equally in these two sites. But we are still thinking about that.
Yes, thank you very much. Speaking about automatic renewables, so Pablo said they extended, you extended it by 4 months, and so you decided just to go with 1 year. So Pablo, any specific calculations? How did you come up with the 4 months?
We recognized that the majority of the people that were affected by the hurricanes were in the region. And we were playing this by ear. So we figured in 4 months, most of these regions should be at least at a level of operation where they could communicate with us within 4 months. And if they're not, we would continue to extend the renewal date. So we had no intentions of allowing these domain names to expire until we would get a definite response from the registrars or registrant. But we figured that within 4 months you should be able to contact us. So that's why I came up with that, with the 4 month period.
Okay, thank you. And in case of .gep, JP, so I understand, if I understand it correctly, you haven't had a possibility to identify which registrants are from which areas, affected areas.
Yes, from the registry database, we know their postal address. So, for example, if a disaster is designated as a subject disaster of the law for relief, there's a law of relief from natural disasters in Japan, and the government identifies which city, which area was a most disastrous area. So we know where the most disastrous area is, and we know who lives there, so we can identify which restaurants are in disaster. It is a kind of we use that to identify who are in danger.
Yes, but how would it be possible for other registries, for example, in other countries? So if we want to take care of our registrants in affected areas, we need some effective mechanisms to be able to identify that those registrants are from those areas. I'm not saying we can find a solution now. I'm just this is dropping a question for yeah, exactly. So any other questions? One thing actually was very interesting. So if I understood it correctly, you had in JP, you had you bought some system to, in order to inform all your employees, right? And it didn't work because of the congested network. Okay, so probably not always a good idea to rely on technologies. Anything you?
Yeah, in our case, it's different because we were not affected by an earthquake, which is so sudden, it's unexpected. In our case, because it's a hurricane, we know in advance. We have several days. We can track it. Normally, hurricanes begin in the west coast of Africa. So we track it from the moment there is a storm. We can track them. So we know we're counting days. And once they reach a particular area of the Caribbean where they become, they travel as a storm until a particular point in the Caribbean where the waters are really hot, and that's when they become a hurricane. At that moment, we start counting. There are so many days before it reaches us. So we start moving very quickly. Most people in Puerto Rico and in this Caribbean region already are storing food and water. For example, we're talking about this. We're less than 90 days from the hurricane season again in Puerto Rico. Hurricane season starts in June, and it's March now, right? So it's less than 90 days. Boom, hurricane season all over again. So most people already in their houses have food, they have water, they have non-perishable goods, And we are preparing and storing things, so food and water and that type of thing is not unheard of to have it. And in our offices, pretty much like you do in JP, we also use them as storage because right after a natural disaster, we use that to give them away to different communities that were affected. So we stored lots of cases of water and food, Pampers, baby food, powder milk, that type of thing. So at least we have that heads up. On the other hand, what we do or what we have done is that we make sure that we have redundant systems throughout the entire process to ensure that our customers are taken care of and that our registrars and our registrants are taken care of. But unlike having a... In the majority of the cases of our natural disasters, the proximity of the different island states is so close, right? So Puerto Rico is very close to the Dominican Republic, very close to Cuba, and on. We are literally in a chain. Normally, we all get hit at the same time. So we have to be able to be ready to take care of those that are not affected. Like in the case of Irma, we were not hit by Irma as hard as Antigua and Barbuda was, .ag. So we were taking in people from Antigua and Barbuda, flying them to Puerto Rico and taking care of that, and Virgin Islands. But then after that, we got hit. So other islands further south in the chain who were not hit attempt to help us. So, and of course, from the mainland U.S., but that's something that we tend to do. Something that we found that was really difficult was the fact that you're an island, you need to bring fuel, gasoline, and diesel, and that's really complicated. So in our case, we tend to look to the mainland U.S. to look for facilities where we can contract and have mirror images there that can also, or we outsource our back end. Not because we cannot do it, not because we don't have the know-how, but only because it's so much easier that if something were to happen in that particular area, we can always truck food, water, fuel, and everything from other parts of the mainland U.S. So that is another advantage that we consider in order to maintain and sustain our services.
Thank you very much. If there are no more questions to Hiro and Pablo, then I'll give the floor to our regional organizations. They ran a survey to see how CCTLD registries around the world are prepared and do they think about disasters. Yes, please.
Hello, my name is Miguel Ignacio Estrada. I'm the general manager of LACTLD. Here's Barack Otieno from AFTLD, and I think we have Leonid on the phone, Leonid Torov from APTLD. Well, this presentation is about disaster and emergency preparedness in CCTLD registries. Barack and I will speak on behalf of the DROs, APTLD, FTLD, Center, and LACTLD. The following slides shows the result of a joint survey we conducted to our member CCTLDs during January and February of this year after receiving a request from Javier Rua from ALAC regarding the preparedness of our CCTLDs in case of disasters and emergencies. We had 50 unique responses from CCTLDs around the globe. And regarding the word disaster for the purpose of this survey, we define disaster as any event that causes business or operations to cease. They could be natural disasters as earthquakes or hurricanes, cyber attacks, power line failures, software or hardware, or in human failures. These slides, we can see that incidents are on the rise. 44% of CCTLDs have been impacted by some sort of disaster or emergency over the past 15 years. The most, as you can see in the chart, the most recent incidents were in 2000, 2017. We had disasters as, I'm sorry, let's go to the next slide. The most frequent are cyber attacks or security compromise. We have natural disasters, power failures, network failures, software failures, and human errors. The most recent disasters were Hurricane Hera or Hira, the Christchurch earthquake, Hurricane Maria. We had DDoS attacks, politically motivated, and some power outages due to, for example, track crashing into power lines and some sort of stuff. But
thank you, Nacho. In the survey, we sought to understand some of the areas that were most impacted when disasters occurred. And from the survey, it was clear that breakdown of machinery or system was reported as having the biggest impact to registries. There are, of course, other areas that were impacted, as you can see on the slide. Utility outages, that is power outages, damage to IT systems, staff unable to access the workplace, interruption of supply chain, physical damage. But most of these, most of the respondents had systems that they were able to mitigate some of these challenges. But breakdown of machinery and systems affected them in a very big way. Other impacts that the registries or affected registries encountered included loss in customer confidence. This was rated as one of the most impacted areas as a result of the disasters and emergencies. Data loss was also rated as the least impacted aspect. From the presentations you've had, you can see that a number of registries have deployed their Anycast systems that make sure that at least the registries are available even after disasters take place. In terms of response time, whenever disasters occurred, 50% of the respondents were able to recover essential operations and services in under 6 hours. Again, when you look at the presentation, you can see from the responses how the 50 registries address this issue, and you can see that at least 50% of the registries that were surveyed were able to respond in under 6 hours.
Okay. So in terms of incident response, we see regarding tools and teams, we see that 86% of organizations have intense texts or email messaging services for communication during the disasters. That it's a good thing, but as we saw, it's not always effective. And 75% of organizations have a dedicated incident response team. We see that this is really, really good.
43% of the respondents estimated that their staff are partially set up to perform remote recovery. From the survey, again, we established that organizations with large domain counts, that is more than 50,000 domains, are better prepared to recover their operations remotely. In terms of overall preparedness for a disaster or emergency, 78% of the CCTLDs that responded consider their organizations either prepared or very prepared for a disaster or emergency. You can see across the regions how prepared the country called top-level domain registries are for a disaster or emergency. Again, from the respondents, a number of registries say they are very prepared, as you can see, and they are willing to talk to any of their counterparts that is interested in knowing or learning how to put in place contingency measures for disaster recovery. You can see the list of registries that say they are very prepared on the lower line there. In terms of the lessons learned, the respondents highlighted the need to prepare a disaster recovery plan, a documented disaster recovery plan for that matter, not just a talk shop, regular testing of the disaster recovery plan. It's one thing to have a disaster recovery plan, and it's another thing to know that it is functional. You've seen some questions being asked here. Sometimes the water can be expired or the food can be expired, meaning it leads to another disaster. Communication is critical during disasters, and data backup is also very critical. Some other key points that we picked from the survey: half of the CCTLDs globally have faced some sort of disaster or emergency. So if you haven't encountered it, it's on the way coming. Again, most incidents relate to cybersecurity. Breakdown of machinery is the most common immediate impact. Loss of customer confidence, rated as having a high impact to the organizations. Again, incident response times are mostly under 6 hours. Most registries have response teams and instant message communications in place. Larger registries are even better prepared from the survey. Again, 78% of country code top-level domain registries globally consider their organizations either prepared or very prepared for a disaster or emergency. We got some resources from the respondents that they felt are worth sharing with colleagues. Most organizations provided some details on their current disaster recovery plans in the survey. This report will be shared in coming weeks. We will circulate it to those that responded to the survey. But again, we want to encourage most of the CCTLDs to be responding to this kind of surveys in future. So the TLDs that are listed there are able to share their current plans if you wish to contact them. So you can see .au.ca, you can see the list. This presentation will be available on the CCNSO website as well. You can have a look at it. One of the resources that was recommended was Disaster Recovery and Business Continuity, The Art of Service, suggested by .br. We also have a suggestion by .de that is listed there. And again, we have the ISO 27001 series of standards proposed by .la and ISO 22301 proposed by .uk. So most of these, especially the last one, looks at societal security and business continuity management. That's it. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. Yes, please, Nacho.
We would like to thank Center for lending us Patrick Miles in conducting this survey and then giving the final analysis.
Eberhard, please.
I just wanted, that was a center survey sent to center members, not to CCNSO members, because I didn't recall having gotten it.
It wasn't CCNSO survey and it wasn't center survey. It was a survey distributed by regional organizations to their members.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was the initiative taken by ROs.
Besides that, it would have not been better to distribute it to send the service to all CCNSO members. I wonder why the report is only made available to the respondents and not to all.
Yes. Normally, it's a reward for those who take their time to respond. And so it's a lot of work responding to some of these surveys. So from time to time, we do it as a reward. But of course, the presentation will be publicly available to members of the CCNSO.
That of such an important thing, you will only send it to the people to report and not the ones who didn't are not aware of it and the ones who might be affected. But are you seriously suggesting this?
Okay, thank you. It was an initiative taken by ROs, and thank you very much, ROs, for this initiative and for summarizing all the responses. It doesn't mean that we cannot do that. Probably think some lessons learned from this survey. Maybe we could add new questions, taking into account presentations that we heard today, some new aspect. We could extend the survey and then again ask, maybe this time we can do it, ask all CCTLDs, not only CCNSL members, but all CCTLDs that are interested in answering the survey to provide their responses and share this share their experience and ideas. Yes, please, Bart.
Brigitte.
Katrina.
May I suggest that maybe, I don't know if somebody from TLD Ops is in the room, that TLD Ops contacts them and use this on, see if they can push this forward, because then you have an outreach to probably the most populated group. And this is something...
Yes, thank you. And I think that we have a question from Leonid, who is on audio only. Leonid?
Yes. Yes, Katrina, thank you. Can I have like a couple of minutes, because I just want to follow up on what was already...
Absolutely. I just want to ask if it's possible to make it louder, because it's very difficult.
Oh, yes.
Yes, good.
Well...
Excellent.
I'm good now?
Perfect.
Okay. So, well, first of all, hi, I'm sorry that I couldn't be with you in person, and I just want to commend the .pr team for raising this very important issue, and my colleagues and all those who responded to this survey, because that was a very interesting, and I mean, to the best of my knowledge, it's probably the first truly collaborative effort for all the regional organizations, although Barack may prove me wrong. I don't know. Anyway, so I think that one of the most interesting aspects of the survey was the one which was not basically made available to the audience and to us as well, and that is the question of those CCTLDs which were left out, or rather preferred to stay out of that survey. And I think that they are the least prepared CCTLDs, and probably, this is just my guess, one of the challenges is that once we have most CCTLDs quoted in the survey more or less prepared for any kind of natural disaster, there is quite a number of those, again, not covered by this survey, which are the least prepared for any kind of disasters because of a number of factors, such as, for example, limited communication with the external world and with the CCNSO community. And they have very few registrants and, you know, very limited resources, handful of staff, and they are prone to not only natural calamities, but all kind of social challenges, including political unrest and war and coup d'etat, whatever. And of course, the level of their observance of the ISOs is very minimum. So I think that we should also focus on those CCTLDs, because they are the most vulnerable link in our chain. So I believe that the time has come, and I fully support the .br's idea to come up with a guide, with a comprehensive guidelines or a manual, if you will, for or handbook for all the CCTLDs, in which we should probably put in every detail all the findings of this survey and all the best practices to date. And of course, this manual should be updated regularly, and we will try to collect as much information from each individual CCTLD. And we also, as Bart already started telling you, we probably have the best platform to do that, because TLD Ops, it seems to me, is most suitable platform, is the most suitable platform for such kind of work. as there might be created a special, a dedicated subgroup to address the matter and to draft this holy book of preparedness, if you will. So then considering some further steps, I believe that we should also be very practical and think, for example, of some capacity building project which might be funded by regional organizations, so whether on the bilateral or multilateral level. We have that perfect example recently when .se stuff was sent to CIRA for a week. Training, week-long training. So why wouldn't we consider something like that? I mean, sending those officers, customer relations officers or security or whatever, officers, technical officers from those smaller vulnerable CCTLDs to the most advanced ones to get that first-hand practice. And of course, we should also not underestimate the quite extensive experience accumulated by some other platforms and organizations, whether it's ITU or, for example, for Asia-Pacific, it's APEC, Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, that have already addressed the issue and developed certain guidelines and recommendations on the matter. So we can build on the existing good practices. It's just a matter of our goodwill to get in touch with them and ensure some credible input for the benefit of end users, of course. And, well, so that is it. And I just want to thank a hero. I mean, I would echo Katrina. I think that every minor detail matters. And sometimes we are too focused on the critical infrastructure and things which are supposed to ensure business continuity in the technical terms, but we tend to forget about those people behind those machines and software. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Leonid. I see Byron has comment. Yeah, Byron.
ByronHolland.ca for the record. First off, I just want to thank everybody here. I mean, I know that the two of you in particular have gone through great hardship, and I appreciate you sharing what obviously was an extremely difficult situation with the broader community to stimulate our own thinking. And as Leonid just said, it's not the big systems necessarily, which often we are relatively prepared with. It's the little things that you don't forget about that are that you sometimes forget about, which are extremely valuable lessons. So thank you for sharing that with us. And I also do want to say thanks to the regional organizations who did the heavy lifting and undertook the surveys and did the work to come here and also present it to us and make us think about it. I think that what we've heard here is a real opportunity. Never let a crisis be a wasted opportunity, so thank you for that, but also all the work that you've done and the presentations that you've given. I just want to say thank you for that. I think it has stimulated actually a really good dialogue here, because while the ROs have kicked this off and done good work in their respective regions, I think this is a real opportunity for us as a community to get together a little more holistically, and whether it's TLD Ops or the CCNSO, build on the work that you've done so we can share that work more widely. And I just want to say I think this is a great opportunity to really do that, and we should take it up ourselves as council to see how can we foster this even more so than has been done already. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Byron. Patricio?
Yeah, Patricio Boblet again. A number of years ago, I participated in a workshop held together with an ICANN meeting, what was called ACRP, Attack and Contingency Response Plan. Was given by a couple of fellows from a company called Delta Risk. And I learned a number of very valuable lessons there. Just like people were saying, that it's not only the technical part that we have to worry about, it's, of course, all the people that are involved. And also that sometimes when disaster strikes, you also have not only a technical problem, but also a political one or a public relations one. If your registry is failing for some reason, you'll come under heavy criticism if you've seen us not have been prepared for that. Suppose it only hits you and not the whole country. When it's the whole country that says disaster, then you have an excuse. But what if it's not? And then you need a whole network of people that you should know and have been in good terms with and be able to access and tell them what's really going on. You have to be transparent. You have to have a communications plan and so on. I find it really good that we're having this renewed interest in the matter. And perhaps we should organize that kind of a workshop again and roll up our sleeves and really work on this and bring all our experiences together and try to come up with plans or ideas that are up to date and learn from all the experience of people who know how to do this and people who have suffered this kind of thing.
Thank you very much, Eberhard.
That was in Mexico where that Delta risk presentation was given. We also had a shorter version of that on Tech Day. The Tech Day committee has the technical working group has discussed this on Sunday and face to face, and we are looking at doing something in Barcelona about this. And we will be, of course, inclusive.
Thank you very much. Very useful information.
Yeah. Regis Massé, .tv for the record. Thanks, all of you, for those very interesting information. We don't use in France to be faced of this kind of problem for the moment. But I will take the role of DNOps, TLDOps steering committee member. And one of the goals of the TLDOps group is to produce materials to help CTTLs. And I think we will enjoy to work on this kind of problematics with this kind of materials you can give us. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So I hope that, that you found this session valuable and heard some feedback from you saying that, yes, this is something we need to think about. And yes, even though, personally, I feel privileged to live in a country with hasn't been hit by any such disaster, probably something. The worst thing we could get is to be attacked by a hungry mosquito. But that's true, absolutely, yes. you're right, Patricia. That's why I really learned I learned a lot from this session. The fact that currently we're not affected doesn't mean that it will last forever. So something can happen at any time. And yes, as Patricio put it, if it's whole country, it's one thing. If it's just you, you have no excuse. And thank you very much to everyone who shared their experience, to regional organizations who prepared, who came up with this initiative and prepared the presentation, thus giving us more food for thought and some ideas how we could proceed further. I hope nothing bad will ever happen to any of you, any of us, but it does. If it does, then we can always rely on our fellows from other CCTLDs. So thank you very much for this session. We break for coffee.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Leonid. Bye.